We are grateful to the Lord that we can come together still undisturbed to hear God's word, to letting ourselves be prepared unto the glorious day of the return of our Lord. Today, we are of course gathered from all over Europe, from the highest north, from Finland, up to down to Italy, all the other neighboring countries, Romania. All are represented here, and we are just grateful with all our hearts that we can come together to hear God's word, to believe it, to receive it with all our hearts. Just feel at home. I just had to think about it. When the brothers were singing the two songs in the English language, we remember the time when all of Eastern Europe, in all the schools, the Russian language was taught in schools. And when we now think about that all the East is now speaking perfectly English, all our neighboring countries, they just took over the English language. Many things have happened during this time. And you all know that we are very near to the end. But firstly, before we go into the Word of God, let me just say again, feel at home. We also notice it to the outside, how the Lord has said, from now on, it will be seed, sowing and harvest, winter and summer. As the Lord said it, that's how it is. Then we have extraordinary greetings from many countries. Just briefly, I want to say here, very special greetings, and I received them twice from our beloved brother, Dr. Mbie. It's really mighty what God has done, especially in the Congo. 350 preachers from all the surroundings, they were coming together. They spent and had fellowship a couple of days together. And their main request was that God would bless us today in a very special way. We are, of course, joined with all. Then we have greetings from Brazil, greetings from Mozambique, greetings from Angola. Then special greetings from Brother Wahlström. Then also special greetings from Brother Graf. In the moment he is very weak in the body, may God touch him and bless him. Greetings from Brother Gilson. Greetings from Brother Daniel from Cape Town. Greetings from Brother Joseph from Kinshasa. Greetings from Brother Idoni from Orléans. Greetings from Chile. Greetings from Brother Paul from Nairobi. Then we have greetings from Libreville. Greetings from Brother R.V. from Lyon. Greetings from Poland. from Brother Janusz, greetings from Brother Moses from Denver, Colorado, greetings once again from Libreville, Gabon. Then once again greetings, and these greetings are from Bucharest. We are greeted here with Isaiah 26, verse 4. A firm heart you are blessing with salvation, because it is full of confidence toward you. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord God is everlasting strength. Then we have greetings from Russia, greetings from the Ukraine, greetings from Hungary, greetings from Ottawa, greetings from the Ivory Coast, greetings from our brother Joseph from Atlanta, once again from Hungary, and then once again from Toronto. Greetings. And again, greetings from South Africa, especially from Brother Daniel, as I said. Then Brother Gratian from Ashdod, Israel, is also sending greetings. Then from Mombasa, greetings from Brother Etienne Genton, is also greeting us with a word from Revelation 22, verse 10. And he says to me, seal not the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. We are grateful to God that the word is still accomplishing for what it was sent for. Now, just briefly, I would like to touch upon it. We all know that Israel is in the focus of history, and everything what is now of greatest interest is happening in the Near East. And if we look at it in particular, what kind of role the Vatican has taken now. And here we read, you can all take it from the internet, Israel and the Vatican are making substantial progress. The Vatican wants to go to the Mount Zion, the most holy place which exists. That room, the upper room where the Last Supper took place, where the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place, there where the tomb of David is, this very important site, the Vatican wants to have under his rulership. And it goes all to the point that a compromise will be found and that it can be rented. There are some things going on which we cannot fully understand, but the Holy Scripture says it, of course, that all the peoples will gather against Jerusalem. The Holy Scripture foretells that a covenant will be made. The Holy Scripture says all things in advance, and in particular, when it concerns Israel and Jerusalem. Everything was, of course, foretold, but also the good things were also foretold. Isaiah chapter 2, The word will go forth from Jerusalem, and the law, the teaching from Mount Zion. The Lord will roar like a lion from Mount Zion. I took all the scriptures, I just looked it up, which speak of Mount Zion and of that what God will do up to the 144,000 who after the sealing will be shown on Mount Zion. But we see of all that in what kind of period we have arrived now, that the time is very advanced. We all understand this, and that the return of the Lord is very, very near, and that the last message is reaching all peoples and nations. And we wish the people of Israel God's richest blessing. And we just say, together with Paul, who of course in Romans 9, 10 and 11, he dealt with this subject in a special way. The elect part received it. All the others who did not believe, they were hardened. And the same is happening now from all peoples, tongues and nations. He who believes God and he who opens his heart, to him it will be revealed. He who doesn't believe and who closes his heart, who hardens his heart, then it is fulfilled. They have eyes and see not. They have ears and hear not. Everything is reported to us in the Holy Scripture. May God bless all worldwide from one end to the other end. May He bless all. Also those who are joining us online now. May God come to His right with all of us by His grace. And in particular, all who speak different other languages, despite of that, feel at home in our midst. We are one great family of God. And this, of course, is the first promise which God has given. In thee all kindreds of the earth shall be blessed. May the Arabic world also understand that they are included in the blessing which God promised to Abraham. Outwardly, we all understood the tensions are increasing, and the Lord alone knows what will happen next. But our focus is to that what God promised for us, what is happening in the church, how the Lord comes to His right amongst and with us. Today, we have a number of questions, and I will be honest, just briefly, we will deal with questions. Questions were always here, especially also concerning the year 1977. That Brother Branham, a couple of times, he mentioned it. Even today, I have a letter from the year 1971. I read it up, how the brother writes, Although we don't know day or hour, yet we can know the year. And the year has come and has gone again. And they didn't know it. And the same it is today. When the Holy Scripture says, day and hour, no one knows, this is enough. We don't need any man who puts up philosophies that perhaps one can know the month or the year. No, we don't need philosophy. We need respect before the Word of God. We stop there where the Lord stopped. But let us say it quickly for your information. From the word in Matthew 24, we have, of course, the promise that the Lord will come, but that no one would know day and hour. And we are just grateful for it, grateful with all our hearts. For perhaps we read firstly from Matthew chapter 11 to just illuminate this prior to that. Matthew 11, here we read from verse 25. Matthew 11 from verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. It's just about the statement that no one, even the Son, didn't know when the hour would be. And now comes the point. All who believe the Jesus only doctrine, they have there a big problem. And they say, oh, he was God himself. How could it be said that he as the Son could not know this? And also here, we have it very good. We leave every word as it is. Also here, in Luke 24, I mean Matthew 24, here it's verse 37. Matthew 24, 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And before that, in verse 36, it said, but of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, also the Son not, but my Father only. One just has to read it up, that our Lord,
in völlig menschliches Wesen eingegangen ist.
became fully man. He was found in fashion as a man, that he had a body just as you and I have it, that he was circumcised on the eighth day, and he was found as a fashion of man for the sake of man. Let me read it quickly. From Philippians, here it is shown to us very clear. I will not deal a long time with it, not just for your orientation. Here in Philippians chapter 2, Philippians 2, we read verse 7 and 8. Philippians 2, verse 7 and 8. He made him, here it is given testimony that the Lord became man for the sake of man. Verse 7 and 8. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, we of course are not stumbling over this. For this we are grateful. For this we are grateful. He was made in the likeness of men. And he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. Jesus Christ, our Lord, became a servant. God became man. God revealed himself to us to lead us back to himself. And this he did. Now, one more scripture from Hebrews. From Hebrews chapter 5, just for your orientation, brothers and sisters, that we respect God's word in all things. And when our Lord says, the Father is greater than I, then we say amen to that. Then we know why he says it. And when he says, I and the Father are one, then we again say amen. Because we know exactly, here he speaks as the Son of Man, and here he speaks as Lord. In Hebrews chapter 5, we read from verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience. Verse 9, by the things which he suffered, and thereby being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Here we have the firstborn among many brethren. We believe what is written in Luke 2, verse 11. For unto you today is born Christ, who is the Lord in the city of David. We believe 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, no man can say that Jesus Christ is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The same, we believe that the Lord had to put off his glory, that the Virgin Mary was ordained, that the Word could become flesh. There was no other way. This had to be that way. And therefore, he could say, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son knows it. Here he spoke as man. And let me just emphasize this. When we see him after his resurrection, he's only called the Lord. The Lord is risen. We have seen the Lord. Then he's only Lord. The Lord had to become man for our sakes. And as we read it here, that he, by his obedience, we who are obedient, he brings us unto perfection. Let us read it once again. Hebrews 5, verse 9. And thereby, being made perfect by this suffering, by this praying, by this supplications, by this he was made perfect. So you and I are also made perfect in the full obedience of faith. And as written here, for all, for you and me, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. This is the day of salvation. God has pardoned us. And let us say it once again. We never philosophized over God's word. We went from scripture to scripture. We illuminated everything. And the Holy Scripture always gave us the answer. In the word of introduction, we read it and we heard it. It's all about the word which the Lord addressed to us. Let us read it once again, briefly, in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. Here, it's repeatedly said to us concerning what is meant with the word. Let us read it. One has to read verse 6 fully. John 17, verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. And we all know the name of the Father is also the name of the Son. This we of course know, because the Father revealed himself in the Son. And in the Son we became sons and daughters of God. And we were accepted. And God has become our Father. Then we read in the second part of verse 6 in John 17, thou gavest me out of the world, and they have kept thy word. And they have kept thy word. This is the recognizing sign of those who are born of God, who have received the word as the divine seed in them, who are not philosophizing religiously, but who are taking God and his word seriously and who get it revealed what the Lord said. Then it continues, especially in verse 8, For the words which thou gavest me, the words which thou gavest me, I have given unto them, and they have received them. You received them. I received them. We received what the Lord told us and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. We don't want to go into detail, but just knowing that all things had to be in the plan of salvation as it was, and that God brings to pass this plan of salvation until we all are coming from believing unto seeing. And as the Lord became like we are, so we will see him, and we will become like him, sons and daughters of God, who have been made perfect because we believed God and because we received God's word in us. Now, the second part in verse 11, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one, just as we are one. Shall we read verse 14 also? I have given them thy word. I have given them thy word, not an interpretation, not an explanation. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Let us go to John chapter 8. John, in chapter 8, we have a couple of things which will touch our hearts now. John 8 from verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, if ye abide in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. What is if we don't abide in the word? This is the condition. If ye abide in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And only then, if we abide in the word, and the word abides in us, then the next verse, namely verse 32, comes to fulfillment. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth, the word, shall make you free. Not the evangelist, not the prophet, not somebody, but the word is revealed to us, and we are delivered of everything what is not in agreement with the word. And by this, we are brought back into the will of God. Then, in verse 43, we read, John 8, verse 43, why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot even hear my word. We We see what's all about. Also in our time, it is about the Word, which remains forever. And this Word must abide in us. From 2 Timothy, we learn the great lesson, which has a special significance for me, from 2 Timothy, chapter 4. It's written from verse 1. And I just read it, brothers and sisters, to show us all what kind of holy seriousness is connected with the preaching of the Word. And we all said that we'll not go here into details of questions, but also within the message, there are so many questions that were coming up, and only in the Word of God we find the answer. Not if we go from quote to quote. No. If we go back to the Word in everything what was said, and finding there the answer. Here Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Reproof, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. We are grateful to God also for the prophetic ministry of Brother Branham. And here, as one has to pay attention, what is still in the future and what has taken place already. The opening of the seals is, of course, not the same as the fulfillment. What God revealed, let's say in March 1963, refers on one side to all of the period of the 2000 years and shows the Antichrist power in the four developing stages. This, of course, didn't happen in March 63. No, this happened in the past 2000 years. And if we then read on, also in the fifth seal, if you read on, of the souls under the altar, the one happened already and the other will still happen. Because to them it was said, wait until ye and all the servants are killed, as your brethren suffered it already. What I just want to say is this. When Brother Branham says the Lamb has left the mercy seat and is no more mediator or high priest, then one just has to hear on and read on to see to what kind of time he refers. It was, of course, not 1963 where the Lord left the mercy seat, where the blood would not be here anymore. No! This was the revelation of the things which will still be. And the brethren don't take these things apart. They just say, the Lord descended. And now he's claiming all those whom he redeemed. And the throne of grace is only in the heart. And no more in heaven. And then we just have to read in the Bible that in the great tribulation, those who have to go through the great tribulation, of them it is written in Revelation 7, and they washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. The throne of grace remains the throne of grace. And the blood of the mercy seat. And therefore, I have to always emphasize the difference between the revelation of the things which will still be and the things which were already happening. The difference between the revelation and between the fulfillment. Thanks be to God. The blood of the new covenant is still on the mercy seat. The Lord is still advocate for you and for me. It's still so as it was. And then when the rapture takes place, this I wanted to say, if the brothers would just read on, then they would hear how Brother Branham has said, the Lord descended in the pillar of fire and he revealed himself to us and he claimed the redeemed. So, not the return of the Lord, but the descending of the Lord in the cloud and in the pillar of fire, which happened in every meeting in which Brother Branham prayed for the sick. He descended. And the Lord revealed himself as the same. This, of course, was not the return of Jesus Christ, but it was the period in which God claimed all the redeemed. And now comes the point. All the true redeemed believe the divine message. They believe that the Lord really revealed himself as the same yesterday, today, and forever. And therefore we are here today and are preaching the word of God, because we understood and we received by faith that in the moment where the Lord has given to Brother Branham this commission, that the message which was entrusted to him would just forerun the second coming of Christ. And here it is. The angel of the Lord said, if you succeed that the people would believe you, will believe you, God must give us the grace to believe the message, that we receive and accept what the Lord has prepared for us. I don't know how you are feeling, brothers and sisters, but if you would be in my situation, and if you would know of what kind of things are taught and said, and then the grace which the Lord has given to us, to just go with everything back to the Word, going from Scripture to Scripture, this grace. And before we continue in 2 Timothy 4, let us just go back again to Matthew 24 to see what is really said here. Also the distinction between the return of the Lord and between the different comings of the Lord. Matthew 24, here we have the following. And we believe it. Matthew 24, here we read in verse 27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. We can really thank God that in the German translations we not only have the word coming, but also the arrival or the return, the word return, as written in Matthew 24, verse 37. Once again, let us read it. Matthew 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the return, also the return of the Son of Man be. And then we read what will happen. At the return of the Lord as Son of Man, verse 39, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the return of the Son of Man be. And now comes the answer. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken and the other left. This is the return. But as written in Bible prophecy, as it is, that what comes before that can take place or can be written afterward. And that what happens after that can be written before that. Let us read verse 29. That the tribulation is described. What would take place in the tribulation? And we all know that before we will be raptured before the tribulation. But here, it's written in Matthew 24, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heavens shall be shaken. And what is written then in verse 30? Yes, 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. After the tribulation, one has to read the Bible precisely to know in what kind of connection belongs the one and the other. Then once again, verse 42, addressed to us in Matthew 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord does come. What's it all about now, brothers and sisters? That we philosophize and discuss about the quotes of Brother Branham, or that we take everything back to the Word of God in reverence. And as we read, preach the Word, be it in season or out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. This we want to do. We want to help. And the word of the Lord was given to us for our teaching. No one needs to go astray. And I dare to say here, all who found grace in the sight of God, they respect the word and they get it revealed. And as written here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, as it continues here in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We don't need anyone who presents himself as the eighth messenger. No one who wants to play some kind of role. What we need is a humble heart to receive what the Lord has given to us by His grace, and just to be sanctified in the word of truth. Then, verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Let us say it once again, brothers and sisters. Let us say it for all worldwide who found grace. The grace which God has given us is to believe as the Scripture has said, to respect the Word fully and to place it there where it belongs, so that the plan of salvation of our God takes place just as God purposed it before the foundation of the world, that we just have part in it by His grace. Now, when we read in the book of Revelation, then it's time and again about the word of the Lord. And this is also our commission, dear brothers and sisters, to preach the word. Everything else we leave to God. And we know He will bring it to pass. What is also on my heart today is the following: that the Lord comes to His right by His grace. That all who need deliverance, who still need salvation or redemption, that they really have an experience with God, that we not only hear a message, but that we really experience the full salvation with God, and that we are not lost in all kinds of things which are secondarily what men are saying. No, that we just put our focus on that what is written, namely, those who were ready went in to the marriage supper and the door was closed. These are the days of preparation. Let us say it once again, the Lord revealed Himself as in the days of Abraham, as in the days of Moses, in the pillar of cloud and in the pillar of fire, but only for the one purpose: to call out His people, to illuminate unto us the way as in the time of Moses. This is the purpose of God. And let us say it all once again, all the others will mock us. They will say, what do you want? This man was a charismatic. He was an evangelist like all the others. Also, although he had the gift of healing. And then at the end, they say, if he was such great man of God, then this accident could not have happened to him. Oh, what kind of things they are saying. And if you just look at it, that John the Baptist was rebuking Herodes, and he said, listen, you have taken the wife of your brother Philippus. This is not right with God. And in that moment, he was already angry with John. And then came the moment where there was a feast, and Herodias, she had also something to say. And this girl went to her mother, and she said, "Mother, what shall I ask for?" And the mother said, she was also a bit angry about John, and she said, "I want the head presented on a tablet of John the Baptist." And already, and John was beheaded. And the head was brought on a plate. Then also one could have said, why did God allow this? Just leave everything to God. God knows exactly what he will do. Important is that you and I, that we recognize what God is about to do with us. No one can determine how the end will be. If I just thinks about it naturally, that Brother Branham is traveling from Tucson, Arizona to Jeffersonville to preach the most important sermon, namely about the subject of the trail of the serpent. As in the Garden of Eden, so Brother Branham wanted to show in a special sermon, he wanted to speak about this special subject. And in one, and he missed one exit, he had to drive another circle. And these 12 minutes were enough that he then had this head-on collision. And this car was coming to on his side, on his line. And one could have said, why did he miss the exit? Why did he have to drive another round? He completed his ministry. And everything what he wanted to say, this he said already. And God revealed it to us from the Word by His grace. Let us say it once again. Let us not be worried. Don't be worried what happened to the servants of God. Read Hebrews 11. They were stoned. They were even sawn asunder. Just think about it. Sawn like a tree. Sawn asunder. The man, the prophet. That's how it's written. Then one could have asked, if this was such a great man of God, please, let us leave all that. Let us just thank the Lord for the revealed word. Let us thank God that we found grace in His sight, and that we may believe as the scripture says, and that we can prove our obedience by believing what God has revealed to us by the ministry of Brother Branham. Confirming His word as never before in all the years before. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we read on in verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. With us, exactly the opposite is the case. We have got ears to hear. We got eyes to see. We received a heart which received what God has given to us. Let us say it once again and let us emphasize it. Not knowing much, but those who will be ready, they will go into the marriage supper. And to this belongs just that we make the original experiences with God, the salvation experiences, the conversion, the renewing, the new birth, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that God gives a full restoration to all of us by His grace. And now it's really important that we believe as the Scripture has said, and asking the Lord, fulfill, confirm what you promised and what is written in your word. And this is, of course, the time period in which we are living now. Namely, that the message is forerunning the second coming of Christ. Not some kind of eighth messenger or somebody. No, the word with all the promises, the word of God in the original, the teaching in the original, the experiences with God, just as they were at the beginning. In the full restoration, everything must be the way as it was at the beginning. Be honest. Do we expect it? Is this assurance in us? Do we believe what the Scripture has said? And let us start really there where it actually should start. Namely, that we consecrate consciously our life to God, that we experience a conversion, that we just can cry out, be merciful to me, sinner, receive me, forgive me. And this must continue, namely that all who are tormented by the devil still, all who have kind of bondages and who cannot be loosened, please, if we read in the Holy Scripture, then it always happened according to the faith. The Lord said always, let it be unto you according to your faith. The faith cometh by hearing, and the hearing by the word of God. Let us summarize what we wanted to say today. The Lord has a plan of salvation. The Lord has given promises. The Lord has called us out. He separated us. By grace, we have become His own possession. The blood of the Lamb is still on the mercy seat. For our Lord, as the high priest, He entered with His own blood into the Holy of Holies. And the blood speaks for us. And we all know what is written in Romans 8, that the Lord made all damage well, and that the redemption is perfect. We just have to receive it by faith, receiving it and thanking the Lord for it. God stands to His word. And also this must be emphasized. Only there where God could make a beginning, there He will also finish. He is the author and the finisher. But He must make the beginning first in you and in me, in all of us. And then He can continue, and then He can finish and complete unto the glorious day of His wonderful return. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 10, it's written, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and patience. This is an example, a testimony from the early church of that what God has done. And in you and me, God has also done great things. Just receive it. Brothers and sisters, we would not be here today if God would not have pardoned us. And recently we were reading it. Mary was addressed as the favored one. And it was said, thou hast found grace in the sight of God. He who was pardoned by God, him he has given the grace to receive the word of promise, just as Mary did it. And the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and the life which is in the word, every word is a seed. The word is the seed. The seed must be sown so that it can spring up. And we have sown the word, and the word sprang up. And everything what God promised, we will experience it also by His grace. In 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, here we have the instructions how we have to deal with one another, how we understand among one another, and how we should comfort one another, showing mercy. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, from verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Tell me one family, one place where there are no trials, where not things are happening which are not as they should be. The moment is just here that we stand in for one another, that we say, Lord, have mercy. Lord, give grace. Help all those who have to go through special trials and tribulations, that we comfort them and that we help them. Verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ.
So,
that we just trust the Lord together, standing to the word, standing on the promises, feeling with one another, helping one another. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we read about that, how Paul esteemed the word. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse
13.
2 Thessalonians 2, verse
13.
But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, First Thessalonians 2, verse 13. For this we thank God. First Thessalonians 2, verse 13. We didn't express opinions. We didn't preach interpretations. But we preached God's word in the original, and the word of God will never return void. It will always accomplish for what God has sent it for. Also tonight, you who have not yet who didn't have an experience with God, trust Him. Believe Him. Believe that He died for you on the cross of Calvary, that He took upon Himself all sins and guilt, and that He died on the cross and He cried out for you and for me, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" We were forsaken by God. There He took my and your place, and in the next moment was fulfilled what Paul has written to the Corinthians: God was in Christ and reconciled the world with Himself. In the moment where all the sin and guilt of mankind was laid upon Him, they said, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" And in that moment, where the spear was thrust into his side, and where the blood of the new covenant was shed, then God was in Christ and reconciled the world with Himself. This is not only the plan of salvation. These are divine facts which happened for us by His grace. Then when we read on here, in that what we looked at already, that we didn't receive the word of God as the words of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, we received it in us. And then we are sanctified in the word of truth. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is the truth. And without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. So, God created all things by His mighty word. Let me read it so that you know that God's word is an almighty word. As the Lord said it, here in Hebrews, chapter 1, from verse 1. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. And now it comes. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, upholding the universe, by His almighty word, by the same almighty word by which He spoke all things into existence. He spoke, "Let there be light," and there was light. What He said happened on the spot. And here we are told that the whole universe, which He created by the almighty word, He upholds it. Then it says, let us read this verse complete. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of his person and upholding the universe by his almighty word, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So, both. On one hand, he spoke all the creation into existence, upholding it by his almighty word, and then, after completing his redemption, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty, and the right hand upholds the victory. The right hand remains exalted. That's how it is written. Sat down at my right hand until I make all the enemies thy footstool. All that is written and foretold in the Old Testament, the plan of salvation, which is being fulfilled from the beginning of the New Testament by his grace. Let us say it once again. We may have part in it. All who are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, they have access to the Word of God. They believe the Word of God, and they know that all the promises of God are yes and amen. If we just go quickly to the Gospel of John, chapter 8, it's just wonderful how the Lord already then, and also all the prophets and all the apostles, they preached, and how important it was and how important it is still today that all are hearkening to the voice of the Lord, receiving and accepting what he says. Here it says in John chapter 8, verse 45, And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Who can believe as the scripture says? Only whom God pardons. He can believe as the scripture says. We could go from scripture to scripture, and we could always show us how important it is to believe God with all our heart, to receive and accept what he has done for us, accepting what he has given, what kind of promises he has given to us. Namely, everything what God has given to us in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Just receiving and accepting it. Now just the two scriptures from Revelation, chapter 1, to once again put the emphasis on the Word of God, which remains forever. Revelation chapter 1, here we read verse 2 and 3. Perhaps we include also verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. who bear record of the Word of God. What do we bear record of? Of the Word of God. Of that, what God has said in His Word and what He promised to us. And then comes the beatification in verse 3. Revelation 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So, the words of God, keeping it, for the time of the fulfillment is at hand. Then, the same word in Revelation, in chapter 19, Revelation, chapter 19, here it's mainly verse 9. But so that we recognize from the connection who was addressed, who it is, who has received the testimony. Let us first read Revelation 19, verse 7 to 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his bride has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now verse 9. And he says unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he says unto me, these are the true sayings of God. All who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb, they hear and believe the true sayings of God. They receive it. They have no questions, but they are finding the answers in the Word of God. Let us summarize of what's all about tonight. It's just about that all, that really all, are addressed and spoken to by the Lord, that all are hearing the call, come ye all unto me who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest unto your souls. That all are feeling themselves to be spoken to, that all are answering the call, coming to him. The word is still valid today. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest for your souls. The same is valid, the word from Isaiah 53. By his stripes we were healed. Every word of God is absolute. Every word of God is the truth. And just because we mentioned Isaiah 53, let me read these verses quickly so that you know that it's written like this in the word of God. Isaiah 53, verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken. Our, our sorrows, our griefs, he has borne. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But yet he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Also verse 6 must come to fulfillment, that we can say we went all astray. Not we are going, it's past tense. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And the precious verse is verse 10, the most precious verse. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. One can read on and on. I just read the second part of verse 12.
Soll Beute sehen oder teilen, als
and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. So, a perfect salvation God has given to us. When we read it in the Gospels, the Lord, all who were oppressed by the devil, all who were tormented by the devil, them he delivered. He healed. He loosened of all the attacks of Satan. And all could go out free. The same is today, brothers and sisters. Our Lord paid the price. We were taken out from the power of Satan, and we were placed under the power of God. It is finished. The blood of the new covenant was shed. We are free. We can cry out, I am redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Just receive it by faith. It's God's holy word. Everything what he said, to this he stands, and this he fulfills. All the promises of God are yea and amen. I just hope that all understood it correctly. Also concerning the message, also concerning the statements which were made, that we are really going back in all things to the Holy Scripture, and that we let God's word say what it says, adding nothing, taking nothing away from it, but giving all the praise and adoration to God alone. Let me say this once again, brothers and sisters. If the Lord has descended so graciously, especially by the opening of the seals, bringing such evidence before the whole world, and then the opening of the seals, and with this was connected that all who believe God, that all who receive what the Lord has to say to us, the all of the redemption, all of the plan of salvation, with all the promises, up to the promise, behold, I send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. Please, don't forget it. If one member in the chain is not strong enough, then the whole chain rips apart. And all the promises of God are really connected with one another, and we are connected with God, with all the promises of God which He has given to us. We are just so grateful for the message, grateful for the calling out, grateful for the full salvation which God has given us in Christ Jesus our Lord. To Him be the praise forever. Amen. Let us stand up and let us thank God together. Really thanking Him together. And before we do this, that's how it was upon my heart. That all who would like to consecrate their lives to the Lord, that we invite them, really inviting them, letting go forth the call by the commission of God. The Lord calls even today. He forgives transgressions. He doesn't remember sins anymore. He made the new covenant with us by the blood of the new covenant which was shed for us. Let us thank the Lord for it, that the blood of the Lamb is still on the mercy seat, that we can come in joy to Him, with joy, receiving what the Lord prepared for us by faith. All the young people, all the newcomers, consecrate your life to the Lord. It's still the time of grace. The Lord, the call goes still forth. And you will see the day which the Lord has made is that day on which you said yes to Him, and where you received what the Lord has given to you. Today, if you hear His voice in all areas, in all realms, concerning the redemption, concerning the promises, concerning all the Word of God, everything we believe with all our hearts, and the Lord fulfills it in us. Who would like to raise his hand? We bow our heads and remain in silent prayer. Hands are all over. The Lord God bless. The Lord God bless from the riches of His grace. Let us sing the chorus, "Just as I am." Dear Lord, you ever faithful God, we have heard your word, the full gospel, the full salvation you have given to us, the salvation of the soul, the deliverance of the spirit, the healing of the body. Everything happened on the cross of Calvary. And we may carry the word of the cross And the word of the cross is the power of God to them who believe. Let it be manifested, O Lord, that your word, the almighty word, becomes the power of God today in all them who believe it with all their hearts. We believe as the scripture says. We receive it. Be delivered. Be healed. Be saved by the blood of the Lamb, by the power of God. Receive it and thank the Lord for it. He has given to us the promises. He fulfilled them. And he saved the soul. He delivered the spirit. And he healed the body. And to him, our God, we give the praise for it. Now and forever. Hallelujah. And all the people said, praise, honor, and glory be unto the Lord, our God. If our sisters have a fitting song, they can sing it. And all of us, we remain in an attitude of prayer with a thankful heart before the Lord for that. What he has done, also tonight, he has done it. And I hope that also brothers in all the world who have troubles, with all the problems which are, that God has given them also the answer.
Lass es dein, treuer Gott, auf ewig sein. Lass die Hand in stillem Fleiß wirken nur auf dein Geheiß. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen. Jetzt und ewig bin ich dein. Lass das Wort des Mundes rein, voll von deiner Wahrheit sein. Dein sei Ehre, Gut und Glück. Herr, ich halte nichts zurück. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen. Jetzt und ewig bin ich dein. Dieses Lebens flüchtige Zeit, deinem Preis sei sie geweiht. Brauche hier im Kampf der Welt Geist und Sinn, wie dir's gefällt. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen. Jetzt und ewig bin ich dein. Auch mein Wille, Herr, soll dein, ganz und gar dein eigen sein. Nimm mein Herz, o Gottes Sohn, weihe es zu deinem Thron. Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Schmerz und Sinn leg ich dir zu Füßen hin. Nehme mich und ich werde dein, gänzlich und für immer sein.
Amen.
Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen, jetzt und ewig bin ich dein.
Alle zusammen.
Wasche mich in Jesu teurem Blut, in der Gnade reinigenden Flut. Herr, nur dir allein will ich mein Leben weihen, jetzt und ewig bin ich dein.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Schmidt, please pray with us. Lord, we say thanks to you that each one of us, here or wherever, we are coming to you, Lord, and we say thank you. That your cleansing blood you have shed it so that we are purified and sanctified. You did it by your grace. Lord, even today you are on the throne of grace. And for this we are grateful. We thank you that you are still the same, that you are still answering our prayers. We are bringing you all before your presence, to your throne of grace. All the prayer requests, all those who are looking up to you, Lord, please bless them. Heal, save, deliver, call out, my God, I thank you for it. Thank you for your holy word, that we don't have to run here and there and asking, for ever there is a question, if it is from your word, then the answer is also in your word. We praise you for it, our God, in Jesus' name, our Lord. Keep us in thy word. If there is still a tomorrow, Lord, lead us and bring us together by your grace in expectation, for you have prepared more for us, more than we can understand and ask for. We thank you for it. Amen. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us now pray for all ministering brethren all over the world, that the Lord may be with them, that they respect His word, and that they are abiding in the word. Dear Lord, you ever faithful God, you are sending your word and you are making us well. And you are sending out all your messengers to preach thy word. And we pray for all our brothers. And in particular, for the 350 brothers who are gathered there. And for all brothers in all peoples, tongues, and nations. Precious Lord, come to your right. May a breakthrough take place so that all are led by your Spirit, preaching your word, which remains forever. May it become an almighty word in our lives. Beloved Lord, we lay everything before you. You will have a bride without spot and without wrinkle. And we thank you for the power of the blood, of the word, and of the Spirit. And we ask you, have thine own way with all of us. In Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Amen. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. Praise, honor, and glory. Amen. The grace of the Lord be with you. Please remember, we are here in the house of God. The parents are looking after their children. Let us go out reverently. God bless us all. Amen.